What's going on, YouTube? Today we're going to be talking about our suggestions for solo games, for games when you just kind of want to sit by yourself alone and play a game. And then we're also going to tell you new at the store, and you know, we'll probably make this episode a little bit shorter than most weeks. Stick around, it's the Chaotic Good Cast, episode 86. Hey everyone, welcome to the Chaotic Good Cast, our weekly geeky roundtable. I'm your host, Doug Shoot, and with me are my fellow casters, Ben Higgins from Quarterstaff Games.
Did you guys hear about the big circus fire that happened last week? It was intense.
Oh, yikes. And our geek of the North, the one and only Jason Hunt.
I can't follow that because it would be a crime to try. So,
yeah,
hi, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Ben, you have something?
If Barney would show up, I wouldn't have to pull
you wouldn't
the
have to do this to us. Out. Yes, this is all your fault, Barney. Hope you know.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, I even made the thumbnail so that it has like two dad puns in it too.
Yes.
And I'm so sad that it's getting wasted this week.
I was so impressed with that actually when I saw it. Good. I was at work and I was showing it to my coworkers, and of course none of them are geeks or nerds at all. They're all like, "Is that that Bernie Sanders guy?" I'm like, yeah, but look at the background.
Look, it's funny.
What?
He's playing a game in the Star Wars universe.
Oh man, Solo's chip, come on. Solo games?
Yeah, see? They're all independent. Like, and Bernie Sanders is an independent. Man, two puns in tonight's...
You bring people to culture, but you can't make them drink.
I know.
Oh, dear.
I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you, Hungry Ewok. Thank you so much for joining us yet again this week. I'll remind folks that if you'd like to tune in and watch us live every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, you can search for us on YouTube. Just search for Victory Condition Gaming and give us a little subscribe. We've got some fancy new graphics I can put up here. Let's put the subscribe button up here. Look at that. Right over Jason's face.
Bing.
Hit that subscribe button, that little bell notification. Bing. That'll let you know every single time we go live or upload new content. And then like and share Jason's face. There we go. Just like
that. That's the clip right there.
That should be the thumbnail.
That's how I end up on like wanted lists and no fly lists and stuff. Like, yeah. Let this guy on a plane.
we're a little short-handed tonight, so tonight's episode might be a little bit shorter than normal, but that's okay. We've got some new at the store. We're going to probably talk about WandaVision next week when Barney can join us, and we'll talk about episode 3 and 4 at the same time. Last week we talked about episode 1 and 2. I will just kind of say that I enjoyed episode 3 a little bit more than I enjoyed episode 1 and 2. Definitely a lot of Easter eggs, a lot of spoilers, so we'll dive into that next week. So if you were tuning in for that, definitely tune in next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
We would do it this week if only the other guys would show up.
It's all right.
It's like they have lives or something.
They have other things they got going on.
This having responsibilities is for the birds.
let's hop right to it and get to our first segment, and that, of course, is New at the Store. Ben, take it away.
Boom. So we're ending the early January drought of new products with a big one. The release from Wizards of the Coast, the new expansion of Magic the Gathering. This is Kaldheim. Magic had hyped this one up and put a lot of marketing into this as the most metal Magic set ever.
On a booster pack. Ow.
Right. It's Viking themed, very Norse mythology inspired. So they leaned into that and had a bunch of heavy metal groups that are known for their kind of Norse influence get in on some early marketing on this and just really bring the heavy rock punk metal to it, and it grabbed a lot of people's attention. For me personally, it felt a little heavy-handed. Only probably because,
I see what you did there.
Oh.
Heavy-handed.
only because it the set itself looks amazing. I don't know if it needed the rock gimmick to sell it. Mm-hmm. It's got some really cool mechanics. It's got an amazing set of showcase cards. The alt frames that are found in the collector's boosters have just the super intricate Norse, knotwork and wood carving kind of
nice
style to them. I think it's going to be a really, really good addition to Magic. The standard format over the past couple of months has gotten a little stale. I think this will mix it up nicely. And especially in a lot of time when people are, working on their CCG collections and all that, this is a good boost for local stores to have this.
More puns, I get it. Yeah. Boosters, boost. Mm-hmm.
Now, Ben, do you since there are no in-store events and that going on, do you think that will impact the sales at all? I mean, we usually talk about this, whenever there's a new Magic release, but is Magic slowing down at all?
So overall, for the normal product sales, not at all. People are still going to buy their boosters, still going to buy their boxes. Where it will impact is there is a fair amount of additional sales that happen during the pre-release events.
Oh, yeah.
People buy sleeves, people buy new play mats, people, all of these incidental sales are not going to happen. So there will be a loss of potential revenue to stores that are unable to run events. It is not worldwide. There are some regions of the world which are able to run pre-release events, but in North America, they are still suspended currently. And also just kind of how we structure the events at the store, we'll actually run five or six events over the course of the weekend. Sure. And people kind of will roll in and make a whole big event of it. But we've noticed, during the pandemic, doing the at-home pre-releases where people can buy a kit and take it home and play with their friends or family. They're just buying one kit. They're not rebuying multiple kits to play over and over again. So we are losing a little bit of income with that. But the normal sales for boxes and individual boosters, those are right where they have been. So, it's a mixed bag with the pandemic. People definitely want the cards. But without people to play to, without the draw and the thrill of those kind of very, even very casual tournaments, you are seeing a little bit fewer sales when it comes to the initial and some of the supplemental stuff.
Sure. That makes sense. Hopefully there'll be some light at the end of the tunnel for later this year for in-store events and things will hopefully get a little bit back to normal. If possible.
Yeah, that'll be nice, and we're getting there, slowly but surely.
I know sales at my local game store when they used to do release events were phenomenal. Like I was surprised because you'd go in and you'd pay for your box or whatever, and you'd go sit at the table with everybody else, and then they would do a booster draft, and even while the booster draft was happening, people would be like, well, I'm done looking at my cards. They get up, they go to the till, and they're like, oh, I'll take, like 5 or 10 more packs or an entire box of boosters. Or like at the end of the night, he was making easily like $1,000, $2,000 in sales some nights. Just off of, like our local game store could only house like maybe 12 people sitting at that table.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And people were just like, and like you said, people would come from like all over the place. That people that were out of towners or whatever would come in because they knew it was an event. And they'd show up and they'd have like a couple of $100 because they're like, they're buying because they're out of town. So they come in, they buy their stuff and they're like, well, I've got to go. I'm going home and I'm not coming back here for like another month and a half. So I better buy a bunch.
Sure. What else do you have for new at the store this week, Ben?
So that's the big release. We have a little bit smaller of a release here. Haha, that's another pun because this is the Wasp expansion for the Marvel Champions card game. sorry, everyone. I'm on a roll today. This is just what we're doing. I'm
sorry, not sorry, I think is the kids say. Yeah.
But this kind of completes the pairing of Ant-Man and Wasp. We get Janet Van Dyne here. And, oh, sorry, this is Nadia Van Dyne. Excuse me, if I can get my actual characters in here. And the actual hero card, if you're familiar with the Marvel Champion system, it has an alter ego side and then, you know, the superhero side. And part of the game's mechanics requires you to balance flipping back and forth between these. But a lot like Ant-Man, Wasp has a third side to her card. By unfolding it, you can actually get the giant version of Wasp, much like with the giant man. It just provides just that little extra dimension of gaming to the superhero flipping. I've done a little bit of solo gaming with the Ant-Man pack, and managing the three forms that the hero can be in is really cool and really interesting. So I'm excited for kind of playing around with Wasp as well too. She plays a little bit more in the red color, the aggression side, the suit, which is a really fun one to play solo because it is your glass cannon and you're just flying through and trying to fight against these things. The pack also includes the Jane Foster version of Thor that you can add as an ally in your deck. And some of the art has Moon Knight on it as well. So there's kind of teasing the fact that Moon Knight might be making its way to the Marvel Champions game here pretty soon. So
very cool. Very cool. I hear nothing but good things about the Marvel Champions game. I still have not gotten a chance to play it. And I think it came out right as soon or like shortly before all the pandemic and all the cons were kind of taking place. And then, you know, I was like, oh, Ben, we got to play this. And then,
It was originally launched because we were running demos of it at Carnage, not 2020, but Carnage 2019.
Right.
Its life has been pretty much tied to COVID.
That's got to suck as a bad company
in that regard. But at least it can be played solo. I think that's what's kind of kept it afloat and keep going, and we'll only see it pick up and explode more as people can get together and play these different scenarios with multiple players.
And speaking of solo, that's kind of our theme tonight is games that we're going to suggest that folks, if they want to play something solo, they don't have anybody else to play a board game with or a game with. These are games that we're going to suggest you kind of get to the table and play with. It's nice to know that Marvel Champions is that way, I think it's pretty cool. I'm hoping that maybe before 2020 is or 2021 is over, I'll be able to get a chance to actually play it and get a good feel for it, because like I said, every single time I've mentioned it to somebody or somebody brings it up, they just love that game. So it's cool. And it's nice that they have the Fantasy Flight kind of has those two different versions of the Marvel Universe with it, where they've got Crisis Protocol with Atomic Mass Games and the LCG with the Marvel Champions. So folks that aren't miniatures gamers can kind of play Crisis Champions and vice versa. Now, has Upper Deck slowed down the releases for Marvel Legendary for their game?
It feels like it.
I haven't heard anything about it in a while now.
I think only two came out over the course of 2020, and I know there is one more that's supposed to be coming out here kind of the first quarter of 2021. So it's not a lot of release, but they are still making content for it. So
okay, interesting. Not that I actually like the Alien Legendary a lot more than I like the Marvel one, but I was kind of wondering with two card games if one of them would kind of phase out while the other one is releasing. So
I mean, they're really two separate games, so
yeah,
you know, it's
they're different enough. Both,
so. Yeah, they are. I'm just, you know,
and it's a good way to show that a good property can be on. Be involved in multiple areas and still be successful every time.
Very true. Very true. So, yeah. Is that all that you've got for new at the store this week, Ben?
Yeah, those are our large and small releases, and we'll be back at it again next week. I think we've got a couple new board games coming out at the end of the month that we'll be able to talk about. So
Oh, nice. Very good. Very good. All right. Usually we have the Pop Culture Corner, which is brought to you by StoryComic.com. That is Barney's segment. Barney is not here this week, so we'll just kind of skip that. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about WandaVision episode 3 and 4 next week when he's able to join us for episode 87. In the meantime, did anybody see the Godzilla versus Kong trailer that dropped from Legendary?
That was pretty cool.
That looked amazing. Like, yeah, that is exactly what I want a Godzilla versus Kong movie.
And that's
to look
all
like
I wanted out of a trailer for it too.
Yeah.
Don't give me, like, remember I complained about this last week where, you know, some movies you see like 8 different trailers and there's 5 minutes of footage in every trailer and you've seen half the movie. I don't want that.
No.
I just want to see Godzilla roaring up out of the water, Kong thumping his chest and jumping around, you know, throw a couple of punches. Then let me just think about it until the movie comes out. I don't need more enticement. I'm going to see that.
So the one thing that I did have an issue with the trailer at one point. At one point, they show Godzilla and Kong both on an aircraft carrier. Did you guys see this? Okay, they're both so much bigger.
And so much more mass.
And so much more mass. That aircraft carrier has to be, like, huge. And it has to defy, like, physics in order to keep afloat with both of them on it.
So wait, let me just... You're having an issue suspending your disbelief in a movie about a giant nuclear-powered lizard and an overgrown ape. Gotcha.
Yes,
and the issue is the surface tension of an aircraft carrier. That's the problem.
Exactly. It looked really great. Yeah. And,
My only issue with it, but like I mentioned last time, was how does Kong get so big?
I don't know.
In the first Kong movie, they kind of hint that he was just a toddler, basically, in the first movie. But a lot of people were like, yeah, that's kind of hokey because he's pretty badass already, even as a toddler. How is that a thing? Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. Either way, I'm going to see the heck out of it.
Yeah, I've got my HBO Max membership, so I'm excited they're going to release that on HBO Max at the same time as theaters. So.
Whoa, we do a viewing party for that.
Yeah, I think we could probably do a viewing party for that for the patrons on for VCG. Yeah. So if you would like to join us for
palate cleanser after that Wonder Woman debacle.
Yeah, you can check us out at patreon.com/victorconditiongaming. We will do a viewing party for the patrons.
I have something I need to show Ewok while we have Ewok here.
All right.
Look what I got.
Ooh.
This was in my shoot crate from Doug. These are cells from the cartoon.
they are indeed.
Adorable Ewoks.
One of a kind hand painted animation cells that from the Ewoks show for the Star Wars animated show back in the 80s. So all of our shoot crates got at least one of those, if not two or more. So. Very cool. All right. Now let's get to our featured segment, which, of course, is our suggestions for solo games for folks that are maybe stuck inside and can't be with other folks. Or maybe you're just home alone by yourself and you want to play a board game and there's no one else there to play with. So you look for something else to do. You look for a game to play. I put top five, so I have two. I don't know. Ben, you said you had two?
I've got two.
Jason, you got one?
Sure, yeah, I can do one for sure.
All right. Sorry. Originally it was going to be the five of us, and we were each going to give one suggestion, and that was going to be our five, but we kind of had to switch it up last minute. So I will start and give you my first suggestion for a solo board game experience. I'm going to be honest, and my suggestions are going to be Mantic Games suggestion. Just because, you know.
Because
I really... What's that?
because fanboy.
I do like their. I do like a lot of their stuff.
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying you're a fan of Mantic, and that's why you recommend.
Usually, I do. Yeah, I mean, they put out a lot of stuff. The one thing that I think that is the best board game to date is my first suggestion for a board game, and that is the Hellboy board game. If you are a fan of Hellboy and you like the dungeon crawler type games, this is a really, really great experience. The only downside that I will say is it kind of takes up a little bit of room on the table. It's a little fiddly, but man, if you love the Hellboy universe, this game just kind of nails it. You play these different cases. There's different decks of cards that you use, and you pretty much set up the rooms, and each room has, you know, a card in it. Once you go into that room, you flip that card over. It tells you what's in there for scenery, for items, for bad guys. And so the deck, depending on how you lay out your the cards on the rooms, can change from... So even if you've played one case before, it could play out a totally different way a second time. You do kind of know what's going to come, but when you play it a second time, but the events can kind of random. The other thing that I'll say is that I think there's six cases in the... There was either four. I can't remember which. I think there's six cases in total in the board game itself. And there's like two main bad guys. Super good. There's no, you don't need to have the baddies are all like, and you know, they have an artificial AI that with cards that can kind of control what their movements and everything and their actions. So you don't need to have someone play the bad guys. You can just play as the good guys and take out the bad guys and try to, you know, take down the big boss at the end, usually. It's a super fun game. The one thing that I will suggest is if you pick up the board game, also pick up the BPRD expansion, the BPRD Archives expansion for it, because this expansion is like a little tiny expansion. It gives you like werewolves and witches and, you know, I'm trying to think, bats and harpies.
Bats?
Yeah, there's bats in it. And basically what it does is it lets you kind of make your own cases. So you take these and you take the components from, you can take from other expansions as well as the base board game, but it lets you create, you know, expansions that are cases that, you know, you've never encountered before. And so it really kind of provides a lot more replayability. I would say that the board game and the BPRD expansion must-haves. That's a great solo gaming experience. If you like the Hellboy universe, the Hellboy board game by Mantic Games, I think that's probably, in my opinion, their best board game that they have to date.
Really?
The best? Yep, I think it is. The quality of the components are really good. The team that it's Needy Cat Games, James Howitt and Sophie Turner, I believe. No, not Sophie Turner. I can't Sophie remember.
Turner's an actress.
Yeah, no, I'll have to look up Needy Cat Games. But it's not Sophie.
That she couldn't be involved in a board game too. Just that would be weird.
Needy Cat Games. It's trying to find who. I know it's James and Sophie, but they did a really great job of designing this game, and I know that they designed a few of the expansions as well, and I know that there's more expansions coming in 2021. In fact, Mantic has announced that they're doing another Kickstarter for more expansions. And I know that they've been in charge of designing those expansions that are coming to Kickstarter. I think it's in February or March. I think if you love the Hellboy universe, this is a great buy. And especially if you aren't able to play with anybody else, you can just kind of set it up and play it on your own. And it's really kind of a good experience. There's no kind of, since it's a co-op game, you can kind of take control of all the agents and there's no initiative. You just kind of, they each have their own, you know, action points to use up, and you can use them up in any order that you want. And yeah, I think it's really kind of built for solo play, you know, even though it's a co-op game. So That's my first suggestion, Hellboy the Board Game by Mantic Games. Ben, would you like to give your suggestion?
Sure. So the board game that I love as a solo game is not normally billed as a solo game, and this is Terraforming Mars from Stronghold Games and Fricks Games. You probably know this. It hit the scene about 4 years ago and took board gaming by storm. It just, you know, everyone was talking about this game. And a lot of the players actually overlooked the solo rules because they were getting together with their groups of friends and playing this. But I tend to play a fair amount of board games solo, and either to try things out so I can kind of get a feeling for them and how they work, so that I can help sell them at the store, or, you know, just because I enjoy playing board games. And this solo mode for this game is one of the best puzzles that I've ever played. The way the game kind of gets changes when you're playing multiple people, there's no the ending of the game is when you complete the three main objectives. That's when the game ends, and then you score points. At the end is with the solo mode, the end is after 14 turns. You get 14 generations to solve the puzzle, finish terraforming the planet, and if you can't do it by the end of those 14 turns, you lose. And if you do, then you get to score and see how you did. And with all the different cards and the different corporations that you can run, and with all the different expansions that are out there now, this solo mode is endless, really. There's so many different variations. Every time you play, it's going to be completely different. Toby in the chat said it always feels impossible until you succeed, and that is absolutely correct. Like, nice. You're trying to figure out, I've got four more turns and I need to do these nine things. How do I do it? So if you want a really good brain burner, a really clever solo implementation of a super popular game, Terraforming Mars is my pick for it. I own the app version of Terraforming Mars purely so I can play the solo.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. So without having to pull out all my bits and pieces and rearrange them, and I can let the app handle it. It's fantastic. And
so you don't need the board at all as long as you're using the app then.
Yeah, if you have the app, it's going to cost you. You know, it's a full game purchase, so it's not going to be like a, you know, supplemental thing that, but it's definitely worth it, and usually goes on sale through Steam sometimes, so you can definitely pick it up fairly cheap. So
yeah, that's the nice thing too, is Terraforming Mars has been out for a little over a year or so now.
So, what it came out in like 2000? No, I know you. What time? What year?
2016 was when the base game came out.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's been out there long enough for sure. You're gonna get it on sale. Yeah.
Yep.
It's not like one of those new games where you're sitting there forever wanting to try and wait for it to go on sale.
Toby says, solo with Prelude if you want some help.
Absolutely. And Prelude is actually like a must-own expansion for the game anyway. It just kind of jump-starts those first few turns when you're playing with groups of people. So it definitely can give you that little bit of edge as you learn the solo mode as well.
Very good. Very good. All right, Jason, you're up. What's your suggestion for a solo game?
My suggestion I have right here. It's let's see if I can get it close enough to the camera. Deep Space D6, it's called, by Towel Eater Games.
Nice, okay.
The fellow that kickstarted this is named Tony Go. He's done a few Kickstarters now. But this is basically FTL in space. The computer game FTL, if you've ever played it on Steam or heard of it anyway. The premise is you're playing the crew of a small scout ship. You jump into a sector of space expecting to find your allies. In fact, it's actually a trap. And then you spend the rest of the game jumping from point to point, encountering random things. There's a huge random element to this game. You jump into new sectors all the time. You fight whatever's there. Sometimes it's going to be a station that you can dock at for repairs or supplies, a derelict ship of some sort, that kind of thing. It's worker placement based, so it's you jump in and you decide where you're going to place all of your individual workers, and then depending on what cards you flip over, that determines the outcome of the events. Like, there's lots of times when you get traps, and yeah, Van de Beest, actually, he designed it just like that. He wanted it to look exactly like a choose your own adventure book, because that's really what you do in most of the game. Like, you can choose to fight, you can choose to run, you can choose to try and negotiate. There's mechanics for all of that. Yeah. Toby's heard of it too. I'm hoping that he does more games like this, because I really enjoy this game. I've played this game probably, I want to say 10 or 15 times. There's multiple ship templates you can use to spice the game up if you don't want to use the generic ship at the start. But yeah, it's a ton of fun, and it's a very small, like, everything's in this one little box. No surprises, no need to buy an expansion. There's no additional stuff that he's released for it yet. The Kickstarter actually had options for deluxe dice and whatnot, which I went for. And they're just really nicely made D6. It's the whole game is D6 based, but it's one of the only thing that I didn't like about the whole idea is it uses D6 like this that have these weird symbols instead of faces. So if you ever use these dice, you're kind of hooped. So be very careful with your dice.
So Toby asks, it's a roll in place, right? Since the die face equals where they can be used.
Yep.
Interesting.
The rules are pretty simple to learn. The average game time is 30 minutes. I would say if you're going to, probably the first time out, you're probably going to be there for a good hour, just because you're going to be referring to the rule book constantly, saying, how do I do this? How do I do that? But once you get the basics of the rules, you're go. I don't think there is a print and play version of it out there right now. Not that I've heard of yet, anyway. I haven't been following the game since I picked it up. He has a robust FAQ available for it, for like lots of little niggling questions that come up when you're playing. But other than that, no plans for an expansion just yet. The Kickstarter was really successful, so he does plan to do another one like this. I'm just waiting on. I follow him on Twitter, or not Twitter. Sorry, I follow him on Kickstarter. So the moment he moves, I'll be there.
Awesome. And when exactly was that Kickstarter? Did you say?
This was a couple years ago now. A
couple years ago.
Yeah.
Nice. I think I saw that on Kickstarter and I almost backed it, and I kind of held back because, I can only.
I'm a huge FTL fan. I love that game. Yeah, he was planning on doing a reprint of it. Yeah.
Toby says that the reprint plans are delayed slightly.
It got pushed back largely because of his Tony is a busy fella, and he's got a couple of other projects on the go, which is not a pun on his name, even though it worked. He does plan to reprint this because there was such a huge demand after the Kickstarter ended and he closed the backer kit out. Once people started getting them, they wanted more copies. Give away and to give to friends, because it was cheap too.
That's always a good sign.
It was only like, I think, $30-some shipped.
Oh, that's not bad.
Which, I mean, that's American, so like, $500,000 Canadian, but it's still like for the amount of entertainment that I've gotten out of this tiny little box, it's well worth it.
Nice. Tiffany says, unrelated, but the choose your own adventure games are amazing, all ages games, and can be played solo. I believe they can be, and
yes, they're pretty much intended to be played solo. Actually,
yeah, I'm a big fan of those choose your own adventure games. So my second suggestion for this evening is it's actually a miniatures game. I guess you could call it a miniatures game. It is a miniatures game. But this is a miniatures game with an expansion, or with a product that was designed solely for solo play. And I've always been a big fan of the Walking Dead universe. We've been watching it since day one. I've gone back and read some of the comics. And so when Mantic announced that they were doing a Walking Dead All Out War miniatures game, I was very excited for this. And when I got it in, I was really pleased with the first few waves of miniatures. And it was actually one game that my wife would actually sit down and play. The rules are not that complicated. They're pretty straightforward, and it's a great kind of entry into the whole tabletop miniatures game gaming. And the expansion that I'm talking about is Prelude to Woodbury. It's a solo starter set for the Walking Dead All Out War miniatures game. This is you play as Brian Blake, who we know eventually becomes the governor. And basically, he goes out on a supply run, and you have to make sure you avoid walkers and pick up all the supplies and then come back. And I love this game. I love the mechanics of this game. I love how the walkers are basically movable terrain. And, you know, if you get one of them on you, it's not that bad. But as soon as you get a couple of them on you, they get more and more deadly. And I just think it's a lot of fun. It's very thematic. It fits very well to the Walking Dead universe. When you're playing player versus player, the walkers are out in the middle of the table. And, you know, as you go out and you try to, you know, maneuver against the other player across from you, the walkers will kind of move around as you make noise and such. So I really like that. And the fact that, the walkers aren't the only, you know, thing you have to be afraid of. You have to be, aware of. You have to be aware of the other person across the table from you, too. This is a great solo way. This is a great way to learn the game. And get the basics of the game down. And then if you like this experience, it's built so that you go out and buy the starter after that. And this has been out for a few years, and I think you can probably pick it up fairly cheap. It has everything that you need. It has cardboard cutout terrain. It's got a paper mat. It's got the dice. It's got all the trackers and everything, the cards. This is a phenomenal starter set. And I've always said that, you buy this for, I think you can probably pick it up for like $25 probably now. You just try it, see if you like it. If you don't like it, then that's one thing. You're only out $25. But if you do like it, there's a whole line to kind of buy up and add to your Walking Dead collection. And like I said, it's a miniatures game that my wife will play. She picked it up fairly easily. And she's not a heavy gamer, and especially not a miniatures war gamer at all. So I can't say enough about Walking Dead, All Out War, Prelude to Woodbury for a solo option. So, all right, Ben, our fifth and final solo gaming experience.
So I'm actually going to jump genres here. We're going to move from tabletop gaming to digital gaming. This is a game I actually just picked up a couple weeks ago. I'm a little late to the party. Came out officially at the end of last year. This is Hades. This is a roguelike dungeon kind of crawl set in the Greek mythology. And oh boy, am I addicted to this game. It's published by Supergiant Games, and for those that aren't familiar with roguelikes, they are games where you have to kind of go through a series of encounters, usually randomized, and every time you are leveling up your character. But when you die, you go back to the beginning, and in true rogue games, you lose everything. It's all your progression's gone. But a roguelike or a roguelite like Hades, you keep a little bit of your progression. So as you kind of go through and play this game, and each run you go through, you're just powering up little by little and getting a little bit better at the game. I've logged 11 hours in this since I picked it up, and I feel like I'm just getting started with it. Like there's still so much more for me to do. I haven't fully escaped out of the underworld yet. I've only made it to the second level. I'm bad at the game, but I'm enjoying it immensely. It's great.
Is this a game that you stream on your Twitch channel? Higgins on Twitch. So if anybody would like to watch Ben play this game, he didn't say whether or not he plays it, but I'm going to tell you right now that I'm going to put him on the spot and say, if you would like to watch it, let him know and follow, give him a follow on Twitch and see if you'd like to see him play Hades.
Cool. Well, thank you, Doug. I've streamed this a couple of times now, and it's a lot of fun. But in like a week, Tony, in a week? Come on. If you can play 300 hours in a week on a new game, like, let's...
Let's talk about your ability to
talk,
bend
talk to me
time.
How you're bending this time. Yeah. But yeah, no, people have really enjoyed watching me play. I get really like hyped and in the moment when I'm playing it. So there's definitely been some good reactions.
Nice.
I think there's two video on demands that you can go back and watch if you want to get a feel for it.
Hades is a really cool game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's if you are an independent gamer, there's no online multiplayer with this. You are playing by yourself in it. So you don't have to worry about interacting with other people. But yeah, it's fantastic, and I wanted to shout it out just because it has fully grabbed me. I was always a fan of the mythology growing up, and the way that this game implements it and treats it with respect, but also gives it a new twist.
There's lots of irreverent humor moments that really mm-hmm. actually just fit well.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely an amazing game, and if it's out on a couple of different platforms. I believe it's on Mac, Windows, and just came out on the Switch as well, so you can play that on your Nintendo. So.
Yeah, I noticed that it was on the Switch when I was researching for the show, for graphics for the show, and that's good because my daughter has a Nintendo Switch, but I never get to play
it's
it.
Really the gameplay mechanics are very fun and not very intensive for the Switch platform, so the Switch handles it beautifully.
Toby says that unlike normal roguelikes, Hades makes losing still fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Some people tried to refer to it as a Souls-like, and I just started laughing. I'm like, it's nothing like a Souls-like. It's a good roguelike. But it's not a Souls-like. A Souls-like is just, we're going to punish you until you like it. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, because I'm a Souls-like player, that's what happens. You get crushed and defeated and destroyed by the stupidest, most innocuous things over and over and over. And you know what you do? You get up and you're like, well, let's try that again.
I think there's a lot of solo options that hopefully folks will be able to fill their days. Jason, do you have any honorary mentions?
For solo games, they're negligible, Noah. There are hardly any requirements, really. It's very graphically light.
You won't use up Noah processor. Smith asks, what are the PC requirements for Hades?
The only other thing that I would suggest for solo play is Warlock of Firetop Mountain on the PC.
Oh, yep. That's really done really, really well.
It is a beautiful rendition of the old choose-your-own-adventure path kind of style thing.
Yep.
It's really well done. It's all 3D, and it uses like miniatures that have bases.
Yep.
So when you're moving around, your miniatures like clump, 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 clump.
I remember I backed that on Kickstarter.
Yeah. Really good. For the really out there people, if you want to try something really existential and Cthulhu-esque, I would recommend The Cultist Simulator.
The Cultist Simulator.
It is hilarious and bizarre, and if you can figure it out, let me know. It's one of those games, it's very Cthulhu in that way. You know, it's like you play a card and you play another card and those cards have an interaction and you're like, what just happened? And you're looking around and you're like, and then like you play another card and it's like, oh, hey, cool. I did this thing over here. Because there's, I can't remember how many cards that there were that they told me because I backed it on as a Kickstarter as well.
Yep.
I can't remember how many unique cards there were, but they kept unlocking stretch goals to add more things and more intricacy to the game. It's basically a card game. But you're literally trying to be a cultist in the best way possible. And there's multiple paths you can take. There's multiple characters to unlock. And you unlock them just by play. Yeah, see, there, Toby's my man.
Toby knows what's up. Toby says, yes, yeah. Cultist Simulator is awesome. He says, it doesn't teach you what to do.
It doesn't, just like
real life.
If you go to the Kickstarter page, I think they may have it on their own webpage now as well. if you go to their Kickstarter page or the webpage, or if you Google, or sorry, if you search it on Steam or any of the major game platforms, they give you a brief introduction to the game and what you can expect from a momentary kind of like an introductory, like 2 minute video sort of thing. And then it just like deep end, poof, off you go, figure it out for yourself. And it's not even so much about playing the game as it is about unlocking the unusual stories that you tell by playing these cards. And if you realize that that's the goal, is to unlock and to like basically unwrap the layers of the onion to get to the deeper story, you will love this game. If that's your kind of game, if that's your kind of gameplay, is just like finding out what the mystery is, you will. It's got replayability in spades. Like you can play that game forever.
Wow! Very cool. Very cool. All right, I think that's probably going to do it for this episode of the Chaotic Goodcast. It was episode 86. It was chaotic, but it was so good. I want to thank everyone that joined us. I want to thank Tony, Noah, Vandabeast, Tiffany. I was going to say Jason, but Jason's on here. Hungry Ewok, Arcade Token Female.
You can still thank me. I'm okay.
I'm not thanking you. No, absolutely not.
Hey, okay. So if you're not going to thank me, I have an issue with part of my shoot crate. I got this little charmer.
No. That's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Do you know what that is?
So like when people are following me in a mirror, I can rep.
So what Jason held up was the shoot crate plastic, I forget what it's called.
It's like a badge.
It's like a pin. It's a pin, yeah. But it's like plastic and it's clear and it's got a graphic on the back. So I sent all the patron the shoe crate. All the shoe crates had two pins. One the regular edition pin, which is just the normal VCG, says Victory Condition Gaming, and then another one where the image is reversed. And Jason, you don't know what the reverse pin is?
Did I miss? I don't know. I must have missed something. Enlighten me.
It's for when you have to take a selfie, and you got the pin on.
God.
So then that way the logo is shown correctly in the selfie.
I was like, if it's a selfie, you know how they have like ambulance printed backwards on the ambulance, so you're looking in a mirror. That's what I thought it was. I was like, if I'm following someone and they're looking in a mirror, they're going to see this, right?
It's always, it's you know, always be branding, even in selfies.
Even in a selfie, okay.
That's right. That's right. So, Toby gets it, so it works for selfies.
Toby's on top of it this week.
Yeah, it's promoting on the front.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well. All right. That is going to do it for this week. I want to thank everyone for joining us. If you like this type of content and you enjoy the Chaotic Goodcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. That always helps us with our growth here on YouTube. We really appreciate that. If you're listening to the audio podcast, definitely give us a follow on whatever podcast platform you listen to. It's also great.
Everywhere.
I mentioned last week that we're now on Pandora Radio, so that it brings us to I think.
Are we in Wyoming yet or no?
I don't know. I haven't checked lately. So hopefully
we gotta break into the Wyoming market, man. We break the Wyoming barrier, then we're in the big time.
That's when you know you've made it, when you're listened to in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Every state except for Wyoming.
It's like he's collecting cards, right? He's like, I just need a Wyoming.
That's right. Right. It's that ultra super rare card.
It is the foil shadowless Charizard
first edition.
What does shadowless mean?
Shadowless. Okay, so we'll discuss it after. Anyway,
not podcast content. Okay.
I want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll see you next week. Let's get the outro going.
Listen.
Okay, so the difference between shadowless and not shadowless. Let me see if I can. So the first edition of Pokemon had pretty much three variations of their base card. The base the f- base Pokemon card had, let me see if I can find Shadowless on here on
there's the short story, Jason, is there's a frame around the art.
Yeah, no,
the art either has a shadow or it doesn't.
No, let me, I wanted to explain.
Is it like an off-center thing or something?
No, see, okay, so let's, here, I'm going to.
Someone hit the bevel and emboss key one too many times.
No. Okay, so here, let me share it on the screen here. See, this is what all the audio podcast listeners don't get to see.
Yes, you need to follow the video.
They don't get to hang out with the.
So, okay, so you brought up this Raichu. I brought up this Raichu card here.
Right.
Okay. Around where the image of this, the Raichu is.
Yes.
Usually there's like a dark shadow around the border of that image. Okay. If it's the unlimited printing, the unlimited, there was three printings. There was the, yeah, right there. Oh yeah. Look at that.
There's an actual example.
There. You see it?
So they've added a three dimensional shadow effect to it.
They hit the drop shadow button.
Okay.
So basically there's first edition Shadowless. There is Shadowless for the, which was the second printing. And then there's just regular unlimited Pokemon.
Gotcha.
So the Pokemon cards that are all, that are pulling in the hundreds and thousands and the, you know, the sealed boxes that are going for $600,000 are, is that, that's not one of them, right? No, that's,
this is unlimited base set too.
So. Oh, okay. So the first edition Shadowless is the sealed product, is that, that's what's going for hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's crazy. Look at that, Ben. Ben, you're just rolling.
Ben's just like showing off now. Like
when you find things in your closet, it's a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. That stuff is super, super hot. And, yeah, it's crazy how the Pokemon market is just.
They're gonna sell them and be able to buy more Rock Lords.
Oh yeah, I would take that money and flip it and put it into Rock Lords for sure.
Right into Rock Lords
for sure. That market is just ready to explode.
What other collectibles can I pull?
Or Jordan can say it's ready to erupt.
I hung out at a card shop for the longest time when Magic and Pokemon were first, like really the big boys on the block kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I kept scoffing at the Pokemon cards. I was like, oh my God, that's so ridiculous. That's such a silly cartoon. Because I was playing Magic and I was a snob at that point. I was like, and the owner of the shop was just like, he'd get a box of boosters in and he'd take one box out of the box and put it in an empty box. And then he would put the rest of them out for sale. Right. And every time a box came in of any different kind of cards, he took a box and he put it away. And he eventually had one of those standard booster box, like the big cardboard version, full of boxes for each set, like one box for each set. And then about 3 years down the road, he turned around and sold those on eBay. Each one went for like $400.
Yeah, and well, probably
what it would go for now is just probably absurd.
Ridiculous money.
He did that with everything, even with sports cards. Whenever a new version of sports cards would come out, no matter how many he got out of a box, he would take exactly one box and put it aside and put it aside. And then he basically, when he closed the store finally, we were all like, oh man, did you go out of business? And he's like, no, dude, I'm retiring. He was 37.
Yep. Yeah.
37 years old, and he had enough money in his retirement plan that he could retire. Just off of card selling on eBay.
Well, I went through my wife's Pokemon collection that she had, and she's got all Shadowless second edition cards from the base set. And I posted pictures of what I cataloged this morning on Instagram, and it's just ridiculous. The stuff that I'm gonna send it to PSA because, you know, even if it comes back PSA 8s or 9s, because all of it's, she never played it with it. She just opened it and.
Did she have any idea that it was worth money? Or is she just like, yeah, whatever?
She liked, you know, collecting them because, you know.
Collector,
yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, at this point, it's almost been like 22 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
like I said before we went live, I was like, I wish that I had the presence of mind when I first got into Magic back in beta to sleeve my cards. But I think, honestly, back then, back when I was playing beta, card sleeving wasn't even a thing.
No, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
You shuffle those cards up and give them a riffle, and felt great.
See, but I, on the other hand, was, I've always been in the sports card like hobby. I have been since like the late 80s. So like when I met my wife, and you know, she was like, oh, you know, she was working for a sports card store. She was buying these packs up and just kind of just collecting and putting the sets together. I'm like, you know what? You should definitely sleeve and, you know, preserve those, because, you know, if you want to collect them and, you know. And luckily we had the foresight to do that.
Same thing with my comics, actually, is when I was a kid. Of course, I was a kid collecting the comics. Like, I started back in the early 100s of X-Men kind of thing. And everybody, like, going forward, everybody found out I had so many comics. And they're like, oh, my God, do you have them all sleeved and backed and everything? And I'm like, no. they're in comic boxes, but I still read them.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking, you know, long-term investment. I was just like, hey, I really like this comic.
I don't think anybody was, especially with Pokemon, like, especially that first set that came out. Nobody was, everybody was so excited to play.
Yeah.
You know,
it was the magic version for kids that you could easily get them into.
Well, the other thing is, like, you got to remember, like, Nintendo, the Game Boy, put out the Pokemon Red and Blue. And like that was the only Pokemon that the kids in the States like were able to like consume. Yeah. So when the card game came out, man, they were all about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Red Blue was 97, and then the card game came out 99. Like, that's 2 years of them playing with their pixels, and then all of a sudden, full color art on cards. Yeah. This is amazing.
With holograms.
I used to pick up so many of those things off the floor in the emergency room. Because parents would come in and their kids would bring their cards with them, and of course the parents could care less. They're just like, oh my God, kid, just please sit down and be quiet, have your pack of cards. And they would go to the room, and then I would go into the room afterwards, and there'd be Cheetos and goldfish everywhere from bribes attempting to keep your children quiet, and the odd Pokemon card or two would be stuck under a pillow or something.
Well, you should have just stashed that Pokemon card, and maybe you'd be the one that retires now.
Yeah, but if I had the presence of mind, only if only.
All right, I think that's going to do it for this week. Thanks.